So, you know, just imagine for a moment what it would have been like if you had been with Jesus pretty much every day for 3 years. That's what the disciples were doing. They were walking around with him throughout Palestine pretty much every day for 3 years, and they've experienced all sorts of things, amazing things. Back at that time in the first century, they are under occupation by the Roman Empire. Life looks a certain way. But then Jesus shows up, and it looks like everything can be different. You see what he's doing, the healing he's bringing about, the crowds of people coming, the teaching that he's giving that you've never heard before. It's amazing. All that's happening and all that they've experienced. Then the kicker to this was just even in the last few days, these disciples head into Jerusalem, and there's crowds of people cheering, shouting, Hosanna. Now's the time. Things are going to be different. Everything has changed. But then it all falls apart. So imagine what it had felt like to see Jesus, this one you were with all this time, all those 3 years, arrested, put on trial, unfairly accused, sentenced to death, and then executed in the most public, violent, ugly way possible. I mean, think about sort of the shock of it, of seeing that, experiencing that, and then the cold reality setting in as you watch his body taken off the cross and put into a tomb, and the stone rolled across that tomb. It would have been hard to deal with. I mean, he's gone. He's really gone. Except for what we know today and what they discovered that Easter Sunday all those years ago. Jesus was dead, but he didn't stay dead. What those women disciples found out, among the first to find out, was when they came to the tomb to anoint the body, the stone was rolled away. And there's an angel there, and the angel says this to the woman, Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He is risen, as he said. And this morning, I just want to reflect on that last sort of part of what the angel says. Jesus has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. That's that last part I want to sort of reflect a little bit on this morning. And it's really two main points I want to make out of what the angel says. First of all, that Jesus rising from the dead, just like he said, shows that Jesus is someone to be trusted. He follows through what he says. He said he was going to die and rise again, and he did. So first, I want you to see that Jesus is someone to be trusted. But secondly, I want you to not just nod your head at that, okay, Jesus said it and he did it. But the second thing I want you to hopefully know you can do today is to see for yourself. Come and see for yourself that Jesus is risen. I want you to see Jesus is trusted, and I want you to come and see and check it out for yourself. So first, Jesus can be trusted. Jesus can be trusted because notice the point the angels make. They tell the woman, they emphasize it. It's not just he's risen. They add this, just as he said. They want to bring to the memory of these women disciples, to all the disciples, he has said this would happen. He said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise from the dead. And because Jesus said it ahead of time, it's like Jesus saying, look, you can trust me. You can trust what I'm able to do. All the things I've said, all the things that I say are going to happen, you can trust it. Because in this huge thing, I'm going to die, it happened, but also even more so, a thing you thought is impossible to happen, I rose from the dead. Angels want to bring to mind the fact that he has said this a number of times to these disciples, and now he's following through. Just a couple examples of all the times Jesus said this. I mean, notice, it says, Matthew chapter 16, from that time, so this is repeatedly saying this, Jesus began to show his disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, I'm going to be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then another chapter later, the Bible says, Jesus said it again to them. They're in Galilee, and he says, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and he'll be raised on the third day. And they were greatly distressed. And then yet again, Matthew chapter 20, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, now he's actually headed to the place. It says, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to chief priests and scribes. And they will condemn him to death, deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. That's at the end. He'll be raised on the third day. So it's not like Jesus didn't say this to them. And we see there in the Matthew 17 passage I read earlier that he was distressed by this. He was concerned They were distressed by this. They were concerned about what happened, In fact, one of the disciples said, we're going to stop this from happening. There's no way we're going to let people kill you. Because, I mean, dead people stay dead. They've seen Jesus do amazing things, wonderful things, when it's him doing it. But if something happens to him, well, what can you do? I mean, you're dead. So that's why they're like, there's no way this can happen. We've got to stop this from happening. It's going to bring an end to everything. There's no way anything can happen if you die. So dead people stay dead. We need to make sure that doesn't happen. But it did happen. Jesus went to Jerusalem. He's arrested. He's found guilty. He's executed. He's buried in a tomb, like he said. But then the big part, the part that was hardest to believe, he also did as well. He rose on the third day. And the angels point this out. You're looking for Jesus. You expected him to be dead, but he isn't. He's alive just like he said. And what I think that means for us this morning is, hey, Jesus is someone you can listen to and trust what he says. You can trust and believe what he says. If Jesus says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. If he says he's going to do something, he is going to do it. Because if there's anything that can get in the way of your plans, it's death. I mean, there's people all over the world, maybe a sudden diagnosis, something that they never expected. They had plans, they had dreams, and that comes, and they're all over. Sometimes it's something that happens suddenly, an accident. No one, no matter how rich you are, how powerful you are, how smart you are, no one can anticipate death. No one can stop death. Even when you know it's coming, you're old and you know you're about to die, no one can know the exact hour. Death is the blocker to everything. Death gets in the way of everything. And yet, what is Jesus showing by rising from the dead? Death is not final. He's showing that it's possible for death to be stopped. Death could not stop what Jesus was doing. Jesus makes it possible to see that death, we can be free from death, and not just sort of physical death. I want you to sort of see death in a broader way here. When Jesus is doing here and showing that we can trust him, he's saying, yeah, you can trust him in the sense that you don't have to be afraid of physical death, but not just physical death, you also don't have to be afraid of what I'm going to call spiritual death. That's a bigger reality when we think of death. We often think of death just as sort of this thing that happens to our bodies, but there's also a spiritual death that we face. I'm using the term spiritual death to describe life apart from God. Anyone that is living a life away from God, apart from God, not having God there, the Bible says you're basically spiritually dying. In Ecclesiastes, in the Bible, it describes people, human beings this way, human life this way, that God has put eternity into your heart. So some of you, so if you can imagine, kids, if you can imagine sort of like this big space inside of you, right? And it's infinite. It's as big as the universe, right? Bigger than the universe. There's only one thing that can fill that space, an infinite God, right? If there's a space in you that was like a square, you have to put a square block in there. If there's a space that was a circle, you have to put a circle in there. But what do you put inside a space that's infinite, that goes forever? The Bible says that's what's inside of you. You have a soul, and it's going to last forever. There's only one person who's supposed to be there, who can be there, who needs to be there. It's God. You can't be human. You can't be fully human without God. To be the person you're meant to be and to know the things you're meant to know and to relate to people that are meant to relate, you need. There's like a missing piece to you, to your soul, and it's God. There's a great quote from an African theologian, Augustine, centuries ago, and he wrote this. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. We're restless if we don't have God in our lives. But I want to add even more to that. We are dead. Spiritually speaking, not just physically eventually, but spiritually speaking, even now we're dead if we don't have God in our lives. Like a plant needs water, we need God. Our soul needs God. Without God, I mean, the Bible uses really a stark description. In Ephesians chapter 2, it describes us as being dead in our sins. You know, so there's a popular TV show, The Walking Dead. I think it stole it from the Bible, right? That spiritually speaking, we are walking dead. If we don't have God in our souls, if we don't have God in our lives. And that's a huge problem. If it sounds like a big problem, it is a big problem. If you're saying, how do I fix this? Well, I don't know. I can't fix it. I can't fix it on my own. This is a problem that we can't fix on our own. Same way no one can stop anyone from physically dying today. You can delay it. You can try to artificially extend it, but you can't stop it from happening. In the same way, we can't stop ourselves from spiritually dying. Our souls sort of naturally drift away from God and push God away. We can't stop that process. But Jesus rises from the dead shows there's a way for it to be stopped, to be reversed. Jesus rises from the dead. In the same way he rose from the dead, he's saying, I can do the same for you. What Jesus does, he says, I did it to pave the way, so I will do it for you and make it so that you don't just have to fear physical death. You don't have to fear spiritual death. I've come to bring new life. I'll put it in the words of Jesus. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 10. I have come that they may have life. What does it say there? Have it to the full. Have it to the full. Life apart from God means death, body and soul. Jesus comes from God to give us a life that beats death, body and soul. That beats it and that defeats it. That gives us life forever. Life now and forever with God. And what Jesus is saying, I rose from the dead just like I said I would. And because I did that, you can trust everything else I've said. I've told you I can give you new life. You see what I do? I can do it for you. I say I can give you peace and healing. You see what I do? I can do it for you. In all the things that we face, in all the things that we endure, God is saying, look, I have beaten down the door to all the things that I think are barriers to you, that are blocks to you, that are roadblocks, that are stopping you from being all that you should be and all that you could be. Things that we fear, the things that we struggle with, Jesus is saying, I've beaten it. The death of the body, the death of the soul, Jesus has kicked down the door, and basically what he's saying, if I can put it very simply, he's like, kick down the door and says, follow me. I know where to go. I know where to take you. Come, follow me. Follow me not just into life, but full life. Jesus isn't just sort of saying, hey, you know, I'm going to give you more life, but it's going to be like you're on a respirator. Not that great, right? Full life, real life, life like you've never dreamed and imagined, a life with God where you're fully who you are meant to be. And we can trust Jesus says that because you can trust that Jesus can do that because he died, but he rose from the dead. And by doing that, he's proven, hey, trust me, follow me. I've done it myself, and I can do it for you. So we can trust Jesus. He follows through what he says. But I'm not just saying this like, hey, I said this, and now it made me great if you can just believe in me saying it. I think also, and it's another important part of the Christian message, is Christian message is God saying, hey, here's what Jesus does, but check it out for yourself. Come and see and experience Jesus for yourself. That's the next main point I want to make this morning. Come see for yourself. Notice what the angel says here. It doesn't just say, he's risen from the dead. Now go tell everybody. That's not what the angel says. He says, he's risen. Now come see where he lay. Come look inside the tomb. I want you to see for yourself. Before you go tell the other guys, see for yourself, ladies. There's nobody here. There's no body. It's really empty. You understand? That's why the stone got rolled away that Easter. The stone didn't get rolled away because like Jesus was stuck behind that rock and like was knocking. Hey, someone, let me out, right? I'm alive in here. That's not why the stone got rolled away. Jesus, his risen Jesus proves that doors, walls, they can't get away of him. The reason the stone was rolled away, not for Jesus' sake, but for our sake, for the sake of the disciples. The stone was rolled away so that the disciples could walk, these first woman disciples could come and look for themselves and see, there's no body here. It's empty. He's risen just as he said. Now, of course, too, maybe they might have thought, well, you know, is he just sort of walking around half dead like a zombie or something? No, like the next part that we see here is that then Jesus proves to himself the tomb is empty and they encounter Jesus in the very next moment. Matthew 28, verses 8 to 10. So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Why did the first people become Christians? Here's why. They saw Jesus for themselves. They heard Jesus was risen from the dead, and then they saw it for themselves. They saw the tomb was empty, and they met him for themselves. And met him and were able to touch him. They were able to eat with him. They were able to hang out with him. And all that's showing, again, if this is true, then like we said, all the rest is true. Everything else that he promises about life with God and the kingdom of heaven, all those things are true and possible. All those things can happen. He's risen just as he said, come and see. Come and see for yourself. So this morning, again, I'm inviting you to believe in Jesus, to trust in Jesus, to trust in Jesus, and to keep trusting in Jesus. But also this morning, as a way to help accelerate that, to help us continue to trust in Jesus, here also attached right with that message is, remember, you can see for yourself. See for yourself that he's risen. And when I say that, no, Jesus isn't physically walking around like he was back then, but I think there's a reason for that, a significant reason for that. If Jesus, this message of Jesus, new life for people, life free from the threat of death, body and soul, that's a message that was meant for everyone. It's meant to go around the world. There's no more inclusive message than the message of Christianity. It's meant for every nation, from every type of people, from every region, from every ethnicity. It's a message for everyone. And so what Jesus does by physically leaving is make it possible for that message to spread everywhere by his Spirit. God sends his Spirit. Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus is now present and is able to be present everywhere at the same time. There's no block to this. So we don't have to like go to Palestine and line up at the home of Jesus and check it out for ourselves. We don't have to make a pilgrimage there. If he stayed here, that's what people would have done. I don't believe this. This is Photoshop. It's edited. I got to go see for myself, right? Jesus could have done that, but Jesus says, no, here's how it's going to happen. I'm going to send my Spirit and make it possible for you to see that I'm alive, and it's true. What I said is true. You can see what I do in people's lives. That's how you'll come and see that Jesus is real and legit. Jesus, till today, this morning, is saying, come and see me. Come and see me in the lives of people all around this world. Come and see me in the lives of people who are in this room. Come and see me in the lives of maybe a neighbor that you know believes in Jesus. Maybe come and see me in the lives of a school, someone you know in school, or a friend, someone, a family member, a coworker, a spouse. Come and see that this stuff, we're not just sort of talking about this stuff. We're not just making up a day for us to come and dress up nice. You look nice today. And do the things that we're doing and have some coffee in the hall. We're not just doing this just to do that. There's a lot of other ways we can do this. No, we believe this. We do this because he is alive. Come and see. Come and see Jesus rescue the lives of people that you think are trapped, that are dead in their addictions and their habits, in their problems and their traumas. People, you say, there's no way they can break out of that. Come and see that Jesus is alive as he frees them from all those things. Come and see that Jesus is alive, alive and well, as he heals relationships that seem forever broken and destroyed. People who have connections and ties that you think there's no way they can be brought back together. There's no way it can be healed. Come and see Jesus heal those things. And come and see that Jesus is alive. Come and see Jesus help people sort through their doubts and their problems and their anxieties. There's people in this room, I know you. You've got doubts and anxieties and problems. Do you understand what Jesus did after he rose from the dead? It's not like he rose from the dead, said, hey, I'm here, I'm out. What did Jesus do? In Acts chapter 1, it tells us he spent 40 days with his disciples. 40 days. Every day. I think what he's doing? He's like, I know you got some doubts, some anxieties. Maybe you think this isn't real. I'm a ghost. I'm going to spend 40 days together, every minute. Jesus is able to walk with us in our doubts and anxieties. Come and see Jesus as alive. He does the same thing now. Spiritually, he will walk with you for however long you doubt, however long you struggle, however long you're unsure. Come and see that he's alive, and he'll stay with you until you realize, oh, this is true. Come and see Jesus in the lives of people who are struggling. Come and see Jesus give hope to the hopeless. Come and see Jesus give peace to the restless. Come and see Jesus bring love and community to the friendless. Come and see Jesus bring beauty and glory to the ugly, to the mistreated, to the pushed aside. Come and see Jesus bring justice to the oppressed and forgiveness and repentance to the oppressor. Come and see Jesus give life, life to the full, to the dead. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see and then believe. Trust and believe. And that's what I hope this happens this morning, is that you hear the message of Jesus and you don't just sort of think, okay, that's cool, but you come and see it real in the lives of people all around you, and then you hear him again say, trust me today. I'm still doing this thing. This wasn't a one and done. That you come and trust him even today. And for those of you, maybe you've been discouraged, you've been unsure, you've been wandering or drifting. It's been a long time since you've talked to God. It's a long time since you've been in church. Guess what? That message has no expiration date to it. Jesus still says, hey, trust me. Come and see. I brought you here this morning to hear this message. I believe this. If you're wondering, this seems especially pointed towards me. It is. It is. And it's not because like someone gave me like your bio ahead of time and so I knew what to say. It's something very important and powerful that's happening in this moment. Don't ignore it. If it seems especially personal and directed, if there's something that sort of captured your thought or your heart this morning, it's real and it's legit. It's not made up. Jesus is giving you a message. Hey, trust me today. Come and see how I brought a message this morning that you didn't expect, but that speaks directly to who you are. Come and see me do that. Now trust me. Trust me and follow me. Trust me and walk out of this building and into the rest of your life, a life that you may think, everyone might say, is this the same life? But they'll quickly realize it's a different life. It's got God in it. And that makes all the difference. A life that death is no block to. Because of all the things, let's come and see and then trust Jesus. Trust Jesus all the more. He is risen, just as he said. Amen? Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you for the message, Lord, of Easter. It doesn't get more simple than this. You died, but you didn't stay dead. You rose from the dead. And thank you, Lord God, that this is something, Lord, that means we can trust you in all that we say, all you say and do. We can follow you in all that you put before us, Lord. And, Lord, we're invited, Lord, to begin to experience that even now. Lord, I pray for all those, Lord, who are here. And, Lord, you're still speaking to them, Lord. Speak to them even now as they hear testimonies, as they come and see what you've done in the lives of real-life people who are going to enter into the waters and say, yes, I came and saw, and I believed and trusted, and now I'm a different person. So, Lord, I pray that that message would speak to them. May it speak to all of us, Lord, wherever we are in our journey. Lord, may we, Lord, trust you and trust you all the more. Lord, thank you for the confidence that we now have, that we live life to the full, abundant life, that we live life in you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. It's your name we pray. Amen.